Tim Skubick, how are you?
Hey, Tony.
I'm exhausted.
You are, eh?
Man, those newsy trips can be exhausting.
Well, you know, everybody says, oh, man, you get to go to the island. I got to be honest with you. From the moment I step off the boat until I get back on, I'm going 24/7.
Well, you were like a hound dog. I saw you with your microphones, and you were definitely there to do some business. Tell me what you learned.
Well, first of all, it's an interesting event because it's like shooting fish in a barrel. I mean, you know, everywhere you turn, you got a newsmaker. And I think what I took away from it is this bridge project is in trouble vis-a-vis Mr. Snyder's efforts to sell this thing to Republicans. The two things that we found out is that Randy Richardville has unilaterally set a bar of 14 votes in the Senate Republican caucus, and if he can't get the 14 yes votes on the bridge, he's not going to move it. Now, nobody was putting a gun to his head to do that. He did that on his own. Secondly, Jace Bolger, the Republican leader, finally confessed on camera, yeah, we have some difficulties with this thing in our caucus. And both of them unilaterally said to Mr. Snyder, indirectly, we're not going to do this in 30 days, Governor. We don't care what you say. We're going to take longer on that. So that's some problems for him. Now, the Democrats, sensing blood in the water here, knowing that the governor will need Democratic votes to pass this thing, and Richardville said that's exactly right, they're going to have some demands that the governor's going to have to meet before they put up their yes votes. So you add all that calculus up, Tony, and what do you come up with?
Well, I see it a little bit differently, and I see it that way because the question I'm going to ask you, from everything that I saw and heard, the bridge would be a go if there was no Michigan money used for it, if you can get Canada involved and use the Fed money from the United States. What I see as the issue is there's a lot of political fighting about not only about supporting or not supporting the Maroons, but there when it comes down to crunching the numbers, no one really knows how much this is going to cost and what the details are, and that's where the stickiness comes from.
Well, this is not a new issue. This has been around the track. I talked to Mike Colwell, who is the chairman of the Senate committee that will be considering this, and this will start in the Senate if it does start. And he said, look, I'm getting conflicting information from both sides, and there's probably a little disinformation going around. But at the end of the day, it comes down to votes, and he doesn't have them.
You know, Tim, what I don't understand is why in the world would government want to get involved in this? And why is there so much dissension about the Maroon family?
Well, it was interesting. I was walking with the governor on the porch, and who does he run into but the son? And Maroon says, the son says to the governor, Governor, I want you to know that I support 99% of what you're doing. And I thought to myself, yeah, is that just that 1%? So I, you know, and Maroon was sincere in saying that to the governor. And, that's a good question. MDOT has been part of the problem. And the governor's alleged compromise on this thing takes MDOT out of the process and creates this authority, which supposedly will go to the private sector and say, private sector, build the bridge, and we'll oversee it. Maroon says that's government control of the bridge, and the governor says it's not, and so we have a semantics problem. But it is a tough nut to crack, and this will be, I think, the real first test of the governor's leadership if he can bring some Republicans along to go with the D's to pass this thing.
Well, you recently wrote a piece for the Morning Sun saying Snyder's luck would eventually run out.
Yeah.
Any other issues that he's going to be challenged with?
Well, the point of the piece there was is that, no, I can't answer that question because nobody knows what that issue is going to be. Every governor that I have covered has had this thing that came out of the blue. Milliken had a chemical contamination problem that basically affected the entire state of Michigan. Jennifer Granholm had her 8-year lousy economy. Blanchard had a recall of 2 state senators, and Engler woke up one morning and found out that General Motors was leaving Willow Run and going to Texas. Every governor has something that happens that they can't control, that they have not anticipated, and I don't know what that will be for this current governor. And that will be the ultimate test of their leadership, is how do you hold up and what do you do in the moment of having crisis in front of you? what do you do? And he hasn't really had that yet. He's only been in office for 5 months. But there is something out there, and I don't know what it is, but trust me, within 4 years we'll know because something will happen.
Tim, you recently wrote about a topic I think doesn't get discussed enough, but I think we're going to hear more about it, and that's the conservative Republicans who really want to know where Snyder stands yep. on a lot of different items.
Yeah, we had on the show this week Gary Glenn, who is from the American Family Association, and let's just put this politely, he has a far-right agenda of about 15 items that he would like the legislature to deal with, and my guess is Mr. Snyder is not too excited about dealing with some of it. Right-to-work legislation is one of them. Now, the governor said if that bill got on his desk, he would sign it, but the question is, will he make sure that it never does get to his desk? And so I think the two sides are on a semi-collision course as Glenn has a meeting in town this week with conservative lawmakers to start pumping this agenda now that the budget is out of the way. And the question is, what does Mr. Snyder do?
Will Mitt Romney win Michigan again?
Popular wisdom is he probably will. There will be a huge debate over what he did or did not say about letting the auto industry go under. That was an issue that we did up on the island. As we reported, Mr. Romney will be in the state starting tomorrow and Wednesday with no public appearances, which means he's working the back rooms trying to get people to open up their checkbook to pop some money for him to run this thing. And Mark Brewer just couldn't be happier. I mean, he was pleased as punch because Romney has changed his position on issues. Now, Romney supporters say he is not a flip-flopper. He just came with new information and decided to take a different direction. Well, they're going to have a problem there.
I saw Randy Heckman on the island. Yep. You don't think he stands much of a chance?
Well, you know, nobody said Rick Snyder had a chance either. So lightning can strike, but the popular wisdom, which is often wrong, is just, yeah, it's tough. You got to come up with money, and Debbie Stabenow is going to have a boatload of money, and the Republicans are struggling to find that person who can take her on, and Bobby Shostak, whom I talked to on the island, ain't there yet. They have not found that person.
What are you working on for Channel 6 tonight?
We did a one-on-one interview with Mr. Snyder where I decided to take a different tact and not talk about issues because I'm drilling dry holes when it comes to talking to him about issues. So we talked a lot about a lot of stuff, about his religious beliefs, about his role in the presidential primary, and we'll put together a nice little package on that for our good viewers on TV6 tonight.
And what do you think is going to be the top of the list for our legislators?
Well, there's some cleanup bills to do on the budget, and the governor wants to push education reform and government reform. So there's plenty for these folks to do. I really don't believe they can get all of this done in 30 days, but I also said they couldn't get the budget done in a timely manner, and they did, so I'm just going to kind of keep my mouth shut.
I thought the governor just worked the room for three straight days, but I that surprised me because normally he doesn't care about that, but he was aggressive with that.
Yeah, I talked to him about that because he really had his schmoozle-meter going. He was everywhere, and give him credit, he was in stark contrast to the previous governor. When she worked the island, she worked it on her schedule, and when she wanted you to see her, you saw her, and when you didn't, you didn't, and he was everywhere. I mean, he was on four programs. He was working the porch like a southern politician, and this is not in his nature. He is a shy person by nature, and so it takes some energy for him to do it, but here was his line to me. He said, Skubik, I've got to do this. I've got to take advantage of this audience and this chance to get my message out there to move Michigan where I want it to go, and he's exactly right. And so give him credit for playing above his game, and I think he is finding his voice, and he's got a good sense of humor. And he's an interesting dude to cover. He really is.
All right, and finally, as we let you go, I found it interesting. Each day I tried to get against the wall and survey what was going on. I remember one night I saw Andy Dillon going up with some gentlemen upstairs to talk, and I was just about to talk with Dennis Archer, and he said, I got to go up to my room and take a conference call. These people were really taking advantage of the opportunity to sit down and chat with people.
Well, it is. It is a networking nightmare or heaven, depending on your point of view. And the people that go there, they have agendas, and they're pushing their stuff, and it's a forced march, and it always feels good to get on that boat to come back.
And I tell you what, the food and the libation flows throughout.
There's a story there. Let me just tell you, Maddie Maroon paid for a reception at one of the local bars, and I'm working on this story for the Detroit Black Caucus. And so, yeah, you're right. That's part of the subtext of what goes on the island. And, of course, the people on the island absolutely love it because these folks buy more than fudge, believe me.
All right. Thanks, Tim.
Tony, always great to work with you, man.